All right, so I need to tell you that last night, Dawn and I were looking at the weather reports and hearing all the news that has come to be, and the question was raised, should we go ahead and have worship tomorrow? And we said to each other, let's show up and have worship, you and I, and both of the other people who come. And you've surprised us once again, so thank you, church, for your faithfulness, and I hope you'll allow me to also express a word of appreciation for my wife, if I can do that publicly. You know, when you get the phone call first thing in the morning that the pianist can't be there and the choir director can't be there, and for good reason, for great reason. And Dawn just did what she did. And I don't know how many of you know this. My wife is sort of a master of flexibility. Her husband is anal, but... Her wife is a master of his wife is a master of flexibility, and so I want to express my appreciation to Dawn this morning. Would you close your eyes, please? I invite you to listen to this vision of how things will end according to the Scripture. This vision of where we are headed to the end to which we are going, which is really just a beginning. Listen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Would you open your eyes, please? From earliest times, the church has recognized that there is an unbroken path between the birth of Jesus that we celebrate this week and the return of Jesus, at which time the events described in the book of Revelation will come to pass. From earliest times, the church has recognized a link between the first advent and the second advent of Jesus. Now, some of you will remember a few weeks ago, I introduced you to a word that describes this second advent time. The word is eschatology, and it is the study of last things, end times. I hope you've had good opportunity to use that at lots of Christmas parties to impress all of your friends. Eschatology. Now, in spite of the ways that pastors like me have confused the issue over the years, eschatology is not nearly as hard as you might think. It's not as complicated as we have made it appear. The meaning of eschatology really is simply this: God wins. In the end, God wins. In the end, God wins. It's that simple. In the end, God speaks over all of creation and says, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, believe it or not, when the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans that we just heard just a moment ago, the introduction to the book of Romans, when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, he was leaning toward the end. Paul was thinking about newness when he wrote the book of Revelation. He was leaning toward that day when God says, "Behold, I make all things new." And this wasn't an unusual thing when Paul wrote Romans. Paul was leaning toward newness all of the time. I'm convinced of this. Paul was leaning toward that day when God will make all things new. And Paul taught the earliest believers, the earliest Christians, that they too should be leaning toward that day. Paul taught them that they are a first hint of that which is to come at the end of time. And so in an earlier letter, for example, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, which he wrote earlier than Romans, Paul said to the Corinthians, If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. There's that word, new creation. Behold, all things are become new. When Paul was writing that same letter to the Corinthians, Paul said, though outwardly we are wasting away, everybody over 30 years of age can appreciate that. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. There's that word again. And it's right here in Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul was leaning toward newness when he wrote this letter. He would say a little bit later in this letter, he would say to these Roman Christians, to remember your baptism. And Paul would say, remember that when you were baptized, you were crucified with Christ and you were raised to, everybody remember? Newness of life. There's that word again, newness of life. And later in Romans chapter 12, one of the best known passages in Romans, as Paul would begin to challenge the church in how to live differently, he would say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let me paraphrase all of this, if I may. The Apostle Paul is announcing to the church in Rome and to all of his churches that though history has been a junk heap, though history has been a junk pile of torn and tattered and broken and bruised and stench and decay, the Apostle Paul announces, the day of new creation is on its way, and we need to be living toward it. This is the newness that Paul is leaning towards when he writes Romans. But there was a problem. And the problem was that though the Roman Christians, these men and women who were gathered together in little house churches in the city of Rome, though we have every reason to believe they had heard the gospel as really, really good news, and we have every reason to believe that they really had been raised to newness of life, as we read carefully through the book of Romans, we discover that the problem is that these folks who had experienced renewal were getting tired. And some of the beauty of the renewing work that God had done in them was beginning to wear off a little bit, and some of them were beginning to grow a little bit tired. And the problem that Paul is addressing in his letter to the Romans is, what do you do when renewal has begun to wear off? You see, we have every reason to believe that these men and women and children who gathered together in Rome had heard the gospel as really, really good news. Folks, their very worship was a sign of the new age. They were gathered together in their little house churches, as we saw a couple of Sundays ago. They were gathered together as Gentiles and as Jews. And this, as you know, didn't happen in the ancient world. Gentiles and Jews did not come together to worship the one and the living God. Their very gatherings were signs that God is up to something different in the world. There were slaves and slave owners that came together. Can you imagine the tensions that existed in the ancient world between slaves and slave owners, and they were gathered together for worship? And as you've heard earlier, just a month or two ago, there were men and women who were seated together in the same areas, worshiping together. These are folks in whom God had been doing something delightful and beautiful and new. You can just imagine the fresh air of the good news of Jesus that began to spread across the ancient world as men and women and children were awakened to the delight and the beauty of forgiveness. And when they got a peek, a little glimpse of the new world that's coming through Jesus, the world of freedom, a day when there would be no more slavery, as they looked around them and they sensed the healing work that God was doing in the world, they were really people who were being made new. But here's what we learn in Romans. They were tired. They'd grown tired. You know, you swim against the stream for long enough, and pretty soon the stream begins to take a toll on you. And these Christian people were men and women who were standing up in the great city of Rome. And they were saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that may not sound that radical to you and I who are gathered together today in America. But in the first century in Rome, when the Roman emperor demanded to be called Lord, when people said, Caesar is Lord, these early Christians, they were different. They were swimming against the stream. Some of them were accused of not being patriotic because they would not say Caesar is Lord because they didn't believe it. Instead, they believed that Jesus is Lord. These were people who saw a new and different world. Listen, when you look out on a world in which about one in every three people is a slave, and you're announcing that Jesus is coming to set people free, this makes folks a little nervous. And so these Christians had been swimming against the stream for years now, probably close to 20 years following the resurrection of Jesus when this letter was probably finally written. And it had taken its toll on them. Some of them were beginning to fight with one another. It had started to take its toll. It was wearing on the community. And one of the problems that the Apostle Paul is addressing to the church in Rome is, what do you do when renewal has gotten frazzled? I want to tell you about an experience of renewal that I had right here. It was right here in this sanctuary. I'm not sure how long ago it was, 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. I can tell you that it was almost exactly 2, 3, or 4 years because I had an encounter with renewal on a Christmas Eve worship service in this church. I wasn't expecting it. I had not put this in my day planner. I did not put be renewed on Christmas Eve into my plans for that week. It crept up behind me and it surprised me. And it surprised me in a song that we sang. We were going through the service. I was singing. I was appreciating the music. I was enjoying Christmas Eve, as I always do. And then a song began to be played, and I began to sing along. I had sung this song 100 times, if not more. And I began to sing this song. And it was as though I heard it for the very first time. It goes like this. Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. Do you know this song? Now, nothing had happened yet. I was just singing a song that I've sung 100 times before, a song that is beautiful and I appreciate and have always liked. And then we came to these words. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Listen carefully. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Stop the tape. I don't know how it was that it happened on that particular Christmas Eve, but I heard those words as though I had never heard them before. Until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And everything in me, and I mean not in my brain, I mean at a cellular level, everything within me said, yes, that's the way it is. When Jesus appeared, the soul felt its worth. Everything within me said, yes. I'm not sure if I was able to keep singing there for a couple of moments as I had this encounter with newness. And just when I thought it was safe to go back in the waters, we sang the last verse. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Did you hear that? His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. I heard in those two verses, the soul felt its worth. I heard the first advent. When Jesus appeared, my soul felt its worth. And I heard in the words of the last verse, in his name, all oppression shall cease, the second advent of Jesus. And folks, I have to tell you, my brain did not hear this. My heart heard this, and it heard this as a summons to renewal. It was a different day. I stood up and left that worship service that night knowing something important, significant, powerful had just taken place to me. And I walked out into the hallway, and I greeted people, and it remained with me. This sense of renewal, this powerful, powerful renewal, and it remained with me all of the way until I drove home. All of that time. And then I had to encounter some really bad driving because Paul Loney hadn't even made it out of the parking lot yet. And before I had gotten home, This sense of powerful renewal that I had experienced in Christmas Eve service was already beginning to fray. I was tired. I was grumpy. The presents weren't all wrapped yet. I was tired. I was grumpy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had an encounter with renewal? I mean the real thing. An experience of the love of God, deep and beautiful and pure and wide. Have you ever had an encounter with God's love that renewed you, only a short time later to find that the sense of that renewal was already being frazzled around the edges? Did you ever go to youth camp when you were a kid and enter into the singing of students gathered around a campfire and then listen to somebody stand up and preach the gospel in a different way, in a way that just connected with who you were, and you're with people all week long, and then you drive home from youth camp at the end of the week, and you think to yourself, I'm going to carry this with me for the rest of my life, and it makes it all the way to the front door of your house. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Have any of you ever gone on a missions trip where you've been out working and joining your life to God's love for the world and getting the dirt of love under your fingernails? And somewhere in that missions trip, you say to yourself, I will never see the world the same way again. And then a week or two later, you find that you're looking at the world just like you did sometime before. Have you ever been gathered in worship with God's people and had a sense that the Spirit was filling us the way a hand fills a glove, only to find that by Wednesday, that sense of renewal that you had experienced on Sunday has already been worn around the edges? What do we do when renewal begins to get frayed? I understand that there is a law of physics. It is called the second law of thermodynamics. And if your friends are not impressed enough when you use eschatology at a Christmas party this week, I suggest that you also bring up the second law of thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics goes like this. Everything within a closed system is subject to decay. What is strong will grow weak. What is new will grow old. What is organized will become disorganized. Everything within a closed system will move from organized to disorganized. Now, I'm pretty sure that the person, the physicist who first discovered this, was standing in my closet when he came to this world. The second law of thermodynamics, everything is moving toward decay, including renewal. We are here to worship the God who says, I make all things new. We are moving toward God's purposes even as we stand here and speak, and yet we have this law of decay that is pressing against us, even pressing against the work that God is doing in the world. By now, all of you know probably that our people who were flying to Sierra Leone just a little over a week ago got stopped in Chicago. Dr. Smith has described it as the perfect storm. One thing that happened after another that simply came together and locked this group and made it impossible for them to make their trip from the United States to Sierra Leone. They had thousands of dollars worth of medical supplies that people desperately need. They had a surgeon who was waiting on them at that end to perform surgeries for people that are life-changing. They had people who had planned to make the trip to the hospital and to health clinics who are in desperate need of this. And our group got stopped in Chicago and couldn't finish the trip. Do you ever get the feeling like the second law of thermodynamics is pushing and pushing and pushing against God's renewal project at work in the world? What do we do when renewal gets frayed around the edges? This is one of the reasons that Paul is writing his letter to the Romans. And I'm convinced that Paul had newness on his mind when he wrote this letter to the Romans. Listen again to these words that he penned to the church, even right here in the introduction to the book of Romans. It's in the insert in your bulletin if you want to read along with me once again. Listen again to these words. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Now, let me stop. That word may not jump off the page to you immediately, but folks, I want to tell you, that is a word that is speaking about newness. Because what Paul is announcing to the church in Rome from the very first words that he pins to them is that he's not doing this because it was his idea. Someone beyond himself had called him, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the good news of God. This isn't ordinary news that Paul is calling to write, is writing them about. This is the good news of God. The gospel which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. And by the way, if you're wondering why are we reading this passage of Scripture just a few days before Christmas, the answer is right here. Right here, Paul is emphasizing this Jesus came from the line of David. He was born from the womb of Mary. This Jesus was born according to the line of David. He came as the King of Israel. But more important, through the Spirit of holiness, that is, through the Holy Spirit, he was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hang with me, please. Through him, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. You also are among those Gentiles, here's the word again, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Paul is announcing to the church in Rome, this isn't your idea. You being gathered here as God's people, Jews and Gentiles together, this isn't your idea. This isn't your own voice that was speaking to you. You are coming in response to a call that has been generated to you, and the source of that call is Jesus Christ. To all in love, in Rome, who are loved by God, called to be his holy people. The word Paul uses here, by the way, is saints, ordinary people, gathered together in their homes to worship. You've been called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, it may not be striking to you exactly what Paul is doing in these words. After all, this is the longest run-on sentence in the history of the universe. Had I ever written sentences like that, my grammar teacher would have sent me back to kindergarten. What Paul is announcing to the church in Rome is, your gathering together is connected to the whole story of God. You are what part of what God has been doing since the time that God created the world until the time when God comes back to set things right. All of that business that Paul does in this passage of Scripture, reminding them that they are the fulfillment of what has been prophesied from the prophets who came before them. Paul is reminding the church, this didn't start with you. And it didn't end with you. And you are part of the long story of God. And your experience of grace and power and goodness and beauty is not limited to the little tiny moments in which it has flickered up in your experience. Your experience of God's goodness and God's grace and God's beauty is part of what God has been doing for eons and eons and eons. And he's going to bring it to completion. Don't miss this. It's easy to overlook this. Don't miss this. Paul's announcing to the church in Rome, it doesn't depend on what you are feeling right now. It doesn't depend upon your experience at this moment. Your experience may be fleeting, it may go up, it may go down, it may go this way, it may go that way. You may have moments in which you sense you're standing in the presence of the Holy God, and you may have moments that follow them in which you feel that you're right back in the dump heap of history. Paul is announcing to the church, you are a part of what God has been doing for eons and eons and eons, and Paul's announcing to the church, the center of this story is Jesus. See, that's why we read this passage during the few days prior to Christmas. We're reminded of Jesus born of Mary. We're reminded of the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. But Paul can't write about those things without also reminding the church of the resurrection of Jesus, which reminds the church that the victory that God has won in Jesus, he is going to bring to completion. What do you do with renewal? When your renewal begins to get frayed, well, you remember that your renewal is part of what God is doing in the bigger picture of things. And God's going to finish what he started. There's a class at Winchester Christian Academy, an art class, where the teacher has given the children a very interesting project. The teacher has sent the kids to their homes to find junk, old plastic bottles and jars and old egg containers and plastic spoons and knives. And they brought all their junk back to the classroom, and the teacher has said, okay, I want you to start taking all this junk, and I want you to start assembling it into art. And the teacher has moved around the room and helped these students to think creatively about how to take all of the junk that they've brought from their homes and to begin to assemble it into things of beauty. Friends, if I can paraphrase what Paul is doing in the opening of this letter, Paul is saying to the church, listen, I know that you're surrounded by refuse. I know that you're surrounded by garbage. I know the stench of decay is all around us in the Roman Empire, but I want to tell you, God is renewing what is, and God is going to finish what God has started. Try to imagine this. You're on a long, long, long trip in the car. By the way, this is painful for my children and our friend Justin because they just did this. You're on a long, long, long trip in the car, and as you're driving along mile after mile after mile to overcome the boredom, you decide to turn on your radio. And you turn on your radio, and you find, after a little while of searching, you find this heavenly station. It's playing the most beautiful music, your absolute favorite stuff. I'm talking U2 here, God's favorite music. I'm talking your absolute favorite music, and you say to yourself, this is what I want to listen to. This is it. This is the station that I want to key into. I'm not going to change it for anything else. This is the one. The problem is you go down a hill, and the station fades, and it falls away. And then you go back up the hill, and it begins to come back in. And you go down the hill, and the station fades away, and you go back up the hill, and it comes back in. And this thought occurs to you. If the station is behind me, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose this signal, and I'm not going to be able to hear this music that I really, really want to hear. But the thought occurs to you, if this station is ahead of me, then that signal is just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's going to be me and Bono all the way home. See, this is a terrible mistake that we make in our understanding of renewal. We think renewal is behind us. We have encounters with the beauty and the joy and the goodness and the loveliness of God. And then we step away and it's frazzled a bit around the edges. And we say to ourselves, I've lost it. I've lost what I had. I've lost the love of God that had gripped me so beautifully. Friends, the devil himself could not have come up with a better strategy to confuse and disorient and discourage us. But what if the station is ahead of us? And what if our experiences of the love and the beauty and the joy and the goodness of God are the hint and the foretaste of what is to come? And that station is going to get stronger, and it's going to get stronger, and it's going to get stronger, and it's going to get stronger. And there's going to come a day, Christians, there's going to come a day when the final judgment will have taken place, when God will have set aside all of his enemies once and for all. And there's going to come a day when God is going to announce over all that is, it's all new. It's all new. Every last little atom of it is all new. The second law of thermodynamics only works in closed systems. But baby, this system is open and God is acting on it. And there's going to be a day when God says, I make all things new. Here's some implications for you and me. One is, if you have been battling with something in your life, some addiction, some struggle, some bad habit, some challenge in your marriage, some relational issue that's been going on, and you just can't seem to make any headway over this thing, friends, I just want to remind you, God is already ahead of you in that problem, in that challenge. God is calling you into renewal from the future. So if you've tried 898 times to change that habit, to do better in that relationship, to make some difference, and every time you've just stumbled back into the same old ruts, try the 899th or the 900th or the 901st, because the 898 failures do not mean renewal isn't happening. It just means you haven't experienced the fullness and the power of it yet. Keep going. One of the implications is just keep going. This is true of you personally. This is true of our community. Listen, There are so many challenges in Gratiot County right now. We could hardly even name them all. The people of God who are on a mission of love could grow easily discouraged because we have tried to love, and we've tried to make a difference, and we've tried to work for renewal. If you've done it 9,472 times, how about 9,473? Because the power of renewal is in front of us, not behind us. And it is true of our world. This is so important to remember at Advent. It's not just about me. It's not just about my worship. It's not just about my experience. The beauty of Advent is the reminder that God loves the whole blasted world. And there's not one tiny particle of it that God does not say, that's mine. And I'm going to renew it, and I'm going to reclaim it, and I'm going to recreate it, and I'm going to make it new. Church, be encouraged. Be encouraged. There is an unbroken line between the first and the second advent of Jesus. And what God has started, God is going to finish. Let's worship together. These altars are open, friends, if you wish to come and pray at the front of our sanctuary.